thank you for winning the battle for us. Lord, we're in this great spiritual war with the kingdom of God on one side, the kingdom of Satan on the other, and we're fighting for our lives, God. But thank you, Jesus, that in the midst of this battle, that we know that you have won the victory, you defeated the enemy, that you conquer him, Jesus, and that through your victory that we can have victory. Father, I pray for your grace to be on me today, that I would speak your words, I would share your heart today. And Lord, I pray for each one of us listening, God, whether it's here in person or it's on YouTube, Lord, that or through the podcast or wherever, God, that we would hear your words for us, that we'd have ears to hear, and that we would understand what you're speaking to us, and that you would stir up within us a desire to be free, a desire to really be free, to walk in victory in our lives and not allow the enemy to control us or manipulate us or influence us anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me just do a review of the last few weeks. So we've been talking about spiritual warfare. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We're in the middle of this great spiritual war where the enemy wants to take you out. He doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to be free from sin. He doesn't want you to have victory in your life. He doesn't want you to be healthy. And so he will do everything he can to block God's blessing in your life. He'll do everything he can to make you sick, frustrated, full of sin, addicted, angry, your life, your marriage ruined, your kids mad at you, your boss mad at you, you lose your job. He wants to destroy your life, but God wants to bring blessing. So we're stuck in this spiritual war where we've got to fight. We know that Jesus has given us victory. We know that he has all power and all authority. We know he conquered the enemy, but we need to get up and actually fight or we'll be taken out by the enemy. So last few weeks in particular, I've been hitting home the fact that Jesus defeated Satan, that Jesus has all power and all authority, that while he was on earth, he demonstrated that power and authority, and that Jesus transferred that power and authority to us. And so now we have a responsibility to resist the enemy, to walk in freedom in our lives, and to see freedom in the lives of those around us, in our friends, our family members, our kids, our spouse, that we should take the freedom that he's given us and we need to transfer that to the people around us and fight for them to get set free from the enemy. Last week, we looked at the fact that our main battle is not going to be against Satan himself. It's not going to be against these higher-up arch-demons. It's going to be against the day-to-day, regular evil spirits, the demons that come and affect us. They try to tempt us. They try to deceive us, torment us, defile us. They try to compel us, drive us into sin, and ultimately their goal is to make you a slave. The Bible teaches that demons are real. They're spiritual beings. I know this is weird for us Westerners that we think of things very rationalistically, very materialistically. And growing up, when I heard people talk about demons, I just thought, well, I saw two pictures in my mind. I saw a picture of like a goofy like red guy in a suit with little horns and a pitchfork, and I thought, oh, well, that can't be real. And so I thought, anytime the Bible talked about demons or anybody else talked about demons, I thought, oh, it's just like an influence, a feeling, a force. It's not an actual thing. Well, the problem with that is that's not biblical. The Bible is very clear that demons are real spiritual beings, and their goal, they work for Satan. They're in his kingdom, and their goal is to attack you and attack the kingdom of God. That's the enemy that you're going to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Satan himself, he's a created being who can be at one place at one time. He's a spiritual being, so you're not going to see him, but he can only be at one place at one time. And he's probably not going to attack you. He's probably not going to attack me. There's probably way more important things in his kingdom, in his mind, in his agenda to attack than us individually. But the battle that we'll face on a day-to-day basis is against his ground troops, his ground forces, the grunts, the demons, the evil spirits. So last week I had a nice Mother's Day message, demons, their nature and tactics. So good for the moms to know, be encouraged by. This week we're up to part 13 of Principles of Spiritual Warfare, calling this You Can Be Free. Want to kind of continue in that, looking at demons and what they do and how they attack us, but then move beyond that to talk about how we can walk in freedom from them. And that is the ultimate goal of this series, is not just to give you information so you go, oh yeah, that's interesting, the way that demons work and the way Satan works, and now I know more. No, the ultimate goal is that you would learn to resist him and learn to be free, and that you would really walk in freedom. It says that, I forgot what verse, but it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. That's what Jesus came to do, is to make us free. And so this series, the goal of it is not just to gather information or to even look at, well, here's what the devil does, and we learn more about him. But the goal is that we would be free. So demons, their goal is to make us their slave. And so they'll harass us, they'll tempt us, they'll deceive us, they'll torment us to get us to sin. And as we sin repeatedly and we don't repent of it, then they get a right to our life. Or they try to get us to, you know, bad things happen in our lives, and they try to get us so that we don't forgive, we don't repent of that bitterness, and we hold on to the hurts and the things that we've been through, and through that unforgiveness, then demons have a right to our life. Or they try to deceive you and get you to do occult things, and when you do occult things, big surprise, demons have a right to your life. And so their goal is to get a right to your life, and once they're in your life, well, now their goal is try to get you to do the things that they would do if they had a body, but they don't have a body. They want to make you their slave and influence you to think like they would think, to talk like they would talk, to do the things that they would do. Let me give you an example from my life. You know, I think most people in the world have demons, and most don't even realize it. And the demons enter at some point in their life, and we can't like pinpoint when that happened. Well, I have one particular time of my life where I know when an evil spirit came into my life. It was intense, and my life dramatically changed after that moment. It was a spirit of pornography, and so in the church today, pornography is a huge issue. I was reading 50% of pastors look at pornography on a regular basis. 50% of pastors, that's just sick, that's wrong. 68% of church-going men look at pornography on a regular basis. 76% of young Christians between 18 and 24 years old, men and women, 70% of them search for pornography online. That's a huge problem. We all know it's perverted, it's sick, it's disgusting, it's wrong, it's enslaving, it's addicting, it defiles you, it defiles the other people, it promotes human trafficking and prostitution, and it promotes wrong thinking in your own mind. We all know it's bad, and we can all argue about how it's terrible, and yet the church continues to be enslaved to it. Why? Because there's demons that are behind it trying to enslave the church to pornography and a number of other sins as well. Well, that was one of my problems. I had a lot of problems. That was one of my big problems before I came to Jesus, was pornography addiction, and it started when I was, I don't remember the exact age, 10 or 11 years old, but I was really into comic books. And I got this comic book, this X-Men comic book. You know, you think, oh, it's whatever, X-Men comics, that's made for kids, and it's just fun, no big deal, and there's just superheroes, and they're fighting. And I would get these X-Men comics, and I'd read them, and, well, this one particular one, I got it, and I read it, and it was fun, it was good. And then I read it the next day, and then I noticed this girl in there, like a superhero girl, and I had this thought, as I looked at her, I had this thought, wow, they drew her very attractive. And I was 10, 11 years old. This thought came into my mind. She looks attractive. And it's just a drawing. It's a cartoon drawing. I thought, she looks attractive. Well, where did that thought come from? That was from a demon, I think, trying to make me look at her again. And I felt it. So I hear this thought, she looks attractive. And then it went further. Look at her further. Look at her deeper. And I didn't have a word for lust, but that's what this demon was trying to get me to do. Not just like look at it and acknowledge, oh, that's a nice drawing, or that's an attractive looking cartoon, whatever, but to get me to lust after this picture. And I remember as a 10 or 11 year old kid, having this feeling, having this decision that I had to make, and I remember deciding, yeah, I want to look at this picture in this more intense way that I knew was wrong. And so I'm looking at it, and I made the conscious decision, I'm going to do that. And I knew it was wrong. I knew that I was facing this decision before God, and I didn't have a word. I didn't know demons existed. I didn't have an understanding of demons. I didn't know about lust or any of that stuff. But I remember just deciding, okay, I'm going to cross a line here, because I want to. And so I did. I gave in to lust, and then suddenly it was like I felt this thing just whoosh, rush over me. I know it sounds weird and supernatural, spiritual, creepy, weird. I don't get it, which I didn't. But I felt like whoosh, this like rush came over me. I felt kind of like, like a shock, and I, my vision kind of blurred a little bit, and then I felt something just zoom, go right into my stomach. And then I felt like, this was weird. What the heck happened? I had no idea of demons or anything. But looking back, now that I know what the Bible teaches, and now that I've had more experiences resisting demons, getting them cast out of me, casting them out of other people, looking back, I can say that was when, that at that moment, it was a demon coming into my body. And from that moment, my life changed for the next, well, until I was 19, 20 years old. I was completely addicted to pornography. It went from, I got this little comic book, saw the girl, and I, you know, allowed the lust into there. The demon came into my life. Well, then I started going to comic book shops, trying to get comic books, not for the superheroes, not for the fighting, not for the fun stuff that I used to like it for, not for the stories or anything. I wanted to find more pictures of girls. Comic books, that's all I knew. I didn't know that there was porn magazines or anything like that, but I started getting comic books. And then it went to deeper and deeper stuff, and then I discovered the internet, and then I was like, oh yeah, just downhill. I was completely addicted. I couldn't go a day. I'd wake up in the morning and be like, I'm not going to do it. I know it's wrong. I'm not going to do it. But I couldn't make it. By the end of the day, I'd have gone to pornography again every single day. And then it wasn't until I was 19 years old, I surrendered to Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit. A few months later, I went through what we call it here deliverance, where I met with the pastors at our church. They prayed over me, cast demons out of me. And that spirit of pornography that was there when I was 10 or 11 and had controlled my life and ruined my life for 9, 10 years, suddenly that thing was broken. It was cast out, and like I was free. I didn't struggle with that again. I didn't wake up thinking about going to look at porn. I went online. I didn't have to go, no, I'm not going to search for that. No, I'm not going to go to that website. It was just gone. I was free. This thing that for a decade had tormented me, and I'd wake up saying, I'm not going to do it, but I'd look at porn, and I'd go to the internet, and I had to just fight and resist not to look at pornography. Now it was just gone, and I was free. That's what Jesus wants for us, that whatever it is where the enemy is tormenting you or controlling you, manipulating you, influencing your behavior, he wants you to be free. But demons, their goal is to make you their slave. You know, when I was a kid, 10 years old, looking at that comic book, no, I didn't know anything about demons, and I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't realize the slavery that was coming. But it doesn't matter what you know or don't. Well, I shouldn't say that. It doesn't. If you don't know what you're getting into, demons don't care. They're going to influence you any way they can. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, an innocent 10, 11-year-old kid just looking at a comic book. If they can get you to sin and allow them access into your life, they will take it. And once they're there, they won't leave unless you drive them out, unless you tell them to leave. So demons, many times in the Bible, we see demons named after their activities. It seems like for whatever reason, the way it works, demons have a certain specialty. And whatever specialty there is, that's what they're named after in the Bible. And so you see like demons that bring sickness. Luke talks about a spirit of infirmity. Mark talks about a deaf spirit, a mute spirit. There's also demons that bring sin. Hosea talks about a spirit of prostitution. A jealous spirit is named elsewhere, a spirit of divination, a spirit of fear, perverse spirit, deceiving spirits, a lying spirit, a spirit of error. There's demons that bring oppression. A spirit of bondage is talked about, a sorrowful spirit. Then there's various other different spirits that have their specialties, a distressing spirit, a foul spirit, unclean spirit, an antichrist spirit, a worldly spirit. The Bible will name these various different spirits that it seems like they have a specialty to work with whatever their name is. And so a deaf spirit would make someone deaf. A spirit of fear would give someone fear. Well, when I was looking at that comic book and I was tempted to go from innocently looking at a drawing to allowing lust in, well, a spirit of pornography or a spirit of lust came into my life. And so that's what we see in the Bible, is that demons have a certain quality, a certain characteristic, a certain specialty that they focus on, and their goal is to try to enslave you so that you do the thing that they want to do. So a spirit of pornography would try to enslave you so that you look at porn. A spirit of alcohol addiction would try to enslave you so you're addicted to alcohol. A spirit of anger would try to enslave you so you're getting angry all the time. So that's their desire to enslave you is lined up with their name and their specialty in the kingdom of darkness. When I think about demonic attacks, I think about it in three different levels. And this is just my own thinking. This is not, I think it's based on Scripture, but it's not, you won't find this necessarily in the Bible word for word. So I think about three different levels coming. There's a level of harassment, a level of influence, and a level of, I would call, possession. These, again, these are not biblical words. So if you look, you know, through your Bible, you're not going to find, oh, yeah, here Jesus taught on the level of harassment. Oh, and here's influence, here's possession. But this is kind of how I categorize it in my mind, because I like to categorize stuff. So you've got harassment, influence, possession. So harassment, this to me, this is demons coming around you, harassing you from the outside. It's external. They're trying to tempt you, deceive you. They're like mosquitoes flying around you and just, wham, get it. They're just coming around you from the outside. An example would be, you know, let's take a spirit of anger as an example. You go to Walmart. You're just going around with your, yeah. That's it. All right, so moving on. Or drive, no, yeah, all right, driving down the interstate. I don't want to pick on Walmart. Greg's doing the sound. I can't, better not pick on Walmart. So, mute you. Oh, man, that was good. Thank you, Scott. So you're driving down the interstate. Some guy cuts you off. And you feel this anger in you, and you want to just yell at him. But you don't. You're like, no, I'm a Christian. Okay, I've cut people off too. I'll forgive them. I'll let it go. Okay, you resisted. It was a spirit of anger. Well, it could just be your flesh wanting to make you angry, or it could be a spirit of anger just came along and it's like, yeah, come on, man, get mad at them. So that's the harassment level, external. They're trying to tempt you, trying to get you to sin somehow, trying to get you to disobey God and do what they want to do. So how do you resist that? How do you defeat that? How do you win against demonic harassment? Well, I would say you rebuke it and you resist it. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If it's coming from the outside, that's what you do. You kind of stay on guard, and we understand we're in a spiritual war. There's demons that are trying to seduce us and deceive us and attack us. And so when it happens, you know, when the demon starts trying to attack you and come in trying to get you to sin, you're ready. And you go, no, I'm not going to do that. I rebuke you, spirit of anger. Get away from me. I don't want you. I'm going to resist you. And we have a promise right there from the Word of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise. And so the problem happens is when we don't resist. We're driving along. Some guy cuts us off and we go, yeah, you remember. We don't even think about it. We just respond out of anger. We're so used to just doing what the enemy wants and not fighting because we've lived our whole lives in ignorance, just following whatever we felt like doing, that when a thought comes into your mind, get angry at him. You just do it. And you don't realize that's a demon that put that thought there, and your job is to rebuke it, to resist him, and to rebuke it. Send him packing. Get rid of him. Don't allow that in. So a thought of depression comes. You know, you have a bad day, and you're like, man, my life sucks. This is terrible. No, don't allow that in. Rebuke it. Say, depression, get out of here. You spirit of depression, I don't want you. Leave me alone. I'm resisting you. And then they have to flee from you. Or spirit of fear comes in. You rebuke it. Resist it. Stand strong. You're doing your taxes. And you think, man, if I just adjusted this number, I could get a lot more back, or I wouldn't have to pay as much. So where's that coming from? That's a lying spirit or a deceptive spirit, some kind of demonic spirit that is trying to get you to lie on your taxes, to cheat, and to disobey God. What do? You rebuke it, you resist it, and you walk in righteousness. So when the threat is external, when it's harassment like that, that's our goal, or that's our job, is we resist it and we rebuke it. And then we trust that the Word of God is true, and it says that the devil will flee from us as we resist him. But we have to resist him. So what about the second level? So that's harassment. What about the second level, influence? What is this? Well, this is where it gets a little trippier. We've already entered the trippy realm, but now it's just trippier now. This is where demons have gained a right to come into your life and influence you from the inside. You know, demons will try, they'll come and harass you and harass you and harass you, trying to get you to sin, trying to get you to allow them access to your life. And at some point, when you surrender to them over and over and over again, now you've given them a right to your life. And now they're not just on the outside attacking. Now they're actually in your body and in your life. And now resisting isn't enough. Now you need them cast out. The Bible refers to, you know, it doesn't have the word influence used here, but that helps me conceptualize it, calling it influence at this point. And it doesn't sound as creepy as some things we could use. But the Bible has a few words that it uses to talk about this situation. It says that you have a demon, or you are in a demon, you are under the power of a demon, or you are oppressed by a demon. These are the four words that it uses throughout the New Testament to talk about this situation, where your behavior, the demon has now entered your life, and your behaviors are being influenced by that demon, whether you realize it or not. Now let's talk about that spirit of anger again. You're driving along the interstate. Guy cuts you off. You want to get mad. The demon harasses you, trying to get you mad, trying to get you to cuss at him. And you don't resist him. You surrender to it. And so you roll your window down. You're like, you just start cussing him out. Okay, now you've fallen to sin there. And then you say you're driving along, and now you got a flat tire. Rather than just saying, praise God, I can change my tire now. Now you cuss God out, and you allow that anger to take you over again. Change the flat tire. While you're changing the flat tire, a semi comes by you, splashes you full of mud. And now you cuss at the semi driver. Now you've surrendered again to that spirit of anger. Eventually, at some point, as you surrender again and again and again, and you don't repent of that sin, eventually, this demon, the spirit of anger, has a right to come into your life and makes his home inside of you. And now you can't just resist him, because you try, but it's inside you. You try as hard as you can, but it feels like you're fighting yourself, because he's made his home inside of you now. And so you can't just resist and rebuke him, because he's got a right to be in your life. You've surrendered to him. Now you need him to be cast out. But the good news is, as we've been talking about all along, that wherever Jesus went, if anybody had a demon and wanted to get set free, Jesus cast the demon out. It was never a problem for Jesus. It's not like Hollywood wants you to think, oh yeah, creepy exorcist, you gotta do these weird incantations and maybe it'll come out, maybe it won't, maybe it'll infect the rest of your family. No, it's nothing like that. If anybody had a demon, they went to Jesus and boom, Jesus cast the demon out. It was no problem for him. And so when the demon is external, you can rebuke it and resist it and he's gotta flee from you. But when it comes inside you because you've failed, you haven't resisted him, you haven't rebuked him, but you've allowed him access to your life, now you can't just resist and rebuke him. Now you need to get that demon cast out. It doesn't matter if, you know, how nice or innocent you are or you were. Demons will try to get into your life, and if they can, they'll use any sort of method that they can to trick you, to deceive you, and to get into your life. And once they're there, they will not leave, no matter how nice you might be or how much you read the Bible. Some of them will leave as you read the Bible, you stand on the Word of God, and you just resist. Eventually, they'll get bored because you're not following what they want, and they'll leave. But a lot of times, they'll just stay until you actively say, look, get out of me. I don't want you in here. Share a story about Ileana. She's ignoring me. So when Ileana is awesome. You all know Ileana. I love Ileana. She's super awesome, super cheerful, super helpful. She's one of my favorite seven children that I have. Ileana's great, and she's usually really cheerful. When she was about 2 years old, she just started throwing this massive fit. And, you know, I was gone. Jesse was at home. And Ileana just was throwing this massive fit. And kids throw fits all the time. And after a few kids, you start to learn, okay, this is a normal fit. You can just spank that one out. And this is not a normal fit. We're going to have to rebuke a demon here. Well, this one was, so Ileana starts throwing a fit. And Jesse was at home with her. And Ileana's just like screaming and screaming. And Jesse's, you know, doing everything we normally do. She told her to stop. She didn't stop. Okay, then give her a spank. She still didn't stop. And then it got so intense where Jesse's like, all right, this is not normal. And so Jesse's trying to hold her down on the bed, because she's just like thrashing around and stuff. So Jesse's trying to hold her down just to calm her down. And Ileana just pushes her off. And so Jesse's like, okay, this seems like a demon, because it's a 2-year-old. How could she throw me off? And so then she pushes her down again and starts speaking in tongues. And Ileana looks at her and goes, stop that. I hate it when you do that. Wow. It's like, whoa, creepy. You remember that, Ileana? I've told this story a few times. It's so she says, stop that. I hate it when you do that. And so Jesse, you know, she's like me. She's stubborn and she loves God. And so she's like, well, too bad. I'm going to keep praying in tongues. So I got home at that point and I hear Jesse upstairs just like praying in tongues really loud. And I hear the screaming and like thrashing around. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Like, praise the Lord. Somebody's getting blessed. No. So I go upstairs and I'm like, whoa, okay, what's going on? Jesse's like, yeah, I don't know. I think she's got this demon in her. She's throwing a fit and this is like not normal. I'm like, yeah, no, this is not normal. And so I went over there and I put my hands on her too. And I just quietly said, in Jesus' name, you spirit of rebellion, get out of her. Suddenly Ileana goes, smiles, looks up at Jesse. Jesse's still praying in tongues. Looks up at her and says, Mama, I love it when you pray like that. Like, wow. That demon just left, and that was the last time we ever had to deal with Ileana disobeying. Yeah. Yeah, no, we had other times. here's another kind of fun kid's story. So we used to do these church retreats all the time, and somehow I got roped into doing children's church there. Scary. Almost as scary as Walmart. So I got roped into doing children's church. Now, I liked it. I like ministering to the kids. They're fun. I was helping out. I wasn't leading it, but it's kind of there just to, like, try to keep kids to sit down and all that. Well, one of y'all's kids was not sitting down.
One of my kids was.
Andrew Schuler. He was AJ back then. Yeah. AJ was different. Andrew is awesome. AJ, yeah, we were all waiting for him to come in, Andrew. So AJ would not sit down. And he's getting up on the chair and he's like dancing and stuff. And he's almost falling off. He's going to hurt himself. He's going to hurt other kids. And we're doing everything we can think of, you know. We're forcing him to sit down. He pops right back up. Forcing him to pop back up. And he's not paying attention. He's throwing stuff, just being a brat. And this is not a reflection on Brian and Kathy at all. But sometimes kids are brats. And so Brian's nodding. Well, he knows. So he's not sitting down. We're trying everything we can, and he's just not obeying at all. And so then while the teacher was teaching, Andrew's just sitting, not sitting, he's standing on his chair being obnoxious. And so I just kind of went behind him, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I just real quiet under my breath said, in Jesus' name, whatever demon you are, leave right now. Andrew goes, and then sat down and listened the whole time. Like, whoa, that was weird and cool. I like that. So I know every time I pray for someone and cast a demon out, it's always, I was trained as a rocket scientist. I was trained in aerospace engineering. I like science. I like math. I like things that make sense. And this stuff is weird to me. And I get it. If you're listening and you're like, boy, this is really trippy. Yeah, totally. It is. I get it. But I've seen it work. I see the scriptures, what they say, and I see in real life what happens. I didn't tell Andrew and I didn't tell Ileana, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And when I do that, you're going to yawn or you're going to cough and that little demon's going to come out. No, just quietly prayed for them. They coughed, they yawned, and that demon came out and their behavior changed. Demons are real and we need to know that they will come into our bodies if we allow them to. And so we need to first resist their harassment. And then when we haven't resisted their harassment, we need to just be humble and get some help. Talk to someone, say, hey, I think I got this demon in me. Can you just cast that out? Yeah, no problem. There's no shame in that. Don't be embarrassed about it. We're not judging anyone. Every one of us here, I'm pretty sure, we've all had demons cast out of us. And there's no shame in that. Just say, hey, I got this problem. Help me out. Sweet. We're all ready for it. All right, so that's level one, harassment. That's where it's from the outside, this external attack. And our job there is resist, rebuke him, resist him, and he will flee from us. Then there's the influence level where the problem becomes internal, and now we can't just resist and rebuke him because he's got a right to our life. Now we need to drive him out. We need to get him cast out of us. The third level, possession. Well, I don't have a lot to say about this other than, first off, the idea of demons coming in and possessing you and you're totally out of control and you have no willpower, that's mostly Hollywood. We don't really see that so much in the Bible. If you're not a Christian, your spirit is dead, and so an evil spirit can come upon you and come in you and influence you to the point where it is almost like you're possessed, that you seem to almost have no control. You still are responsible before God and will be held accountable for everything you do. You can't just, you know, you don't get to die and say, well, God, I was possessed, and that demon just controlled me. It wasn't me. No, you're still accountable for what you did. But if you're not if you're not a Christian, and then your spirit is dead, essentially. The Holy Spirit's not in you, and so you don't have any power to resist. And so it almost would appear many times like the control is so powerful. You might from the outside say, oh wow, it's like they have no control. But if you're a Christian, it's different. If you're a Christian, you can be harassed, you can be influenced, but you can't be possessed. The Holy Spirit possesses you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Your spirit is alive. So you can be influenced very strongly by a demon, by an evil spirit, but he can't own you. He can't control you because you have the Holy Spirit in you. So don't worry. When I talk about that people have demons and that and we might have demons and all that, and other people and your friends might have demons, I'm not saying that they're possessed. I'm not saying that they're totally out of control. It means that we have a demon, a spirit being inside of us that's influencing us, and we need that cast out. All right, so let me talk about some areas of demonic activity. So when you have a demon that's come inside you, he doesn't want to just hang out, have a good time, and let you live your life. No, he wants to influence you. His goal is to make you its slave. So I have a few different areas where demons will affect us when they get in. So number one, they'll affect our bodies. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus going around and healing the sick. And many times when he healed the sick, he would cast a demon out and the person's body is healed. Matthew 12:22. Then a demon oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. Some demons will bring sickness on your body. It doesn't mean that every time you're sick, it's a demon. But some demons will bring sickness on your body. So if you have a sickness, especially kind of a mysterious sickness where you don't know how it happened and doctors don't know what's going on and you're just not getting free from it, and like a long-term chronic kind of thing, it could be a demon that has gotten inside you and is bringing that sickness in you. So Jesus, we see him casting out a man with a mute and blind spirit. We see other times he casts out spirits that were causing epilepsy, deafness, fevers. So sometimes there's a connection between your sickness. It might not just be a physical thing. It could be a spirit being that got in there and is ruining your body now. Many times, you know, in this church, we believe that God can heal the sick. And sometimes as we prayed for the sick, boom, they just get healed. Sometimes they don't miraculously get healed. Sometimes they get healed because then they go to the doctor and God heals them through that way. Other times we'll pray for them. They're not miraculously healed. And then we go, you know what? Maybe it's a demon. We'll rebuke the demon, cast it out, and boom, then they get healed. There was a woman that came to our church in Romania that had pain all over her body, suffered for years with this. Doctors didn't know what was going on. We prayed for her. We cast the demon out. Suddenly the pain left and she's been good since then. So I'm not saying every time you're sick, it's a demon, but some sicknesses are caused by demons because they want to hurt our bodies. We're made in the image of God. They don't want, you know, God, it says in Psalms that we're fearfully, how does it say? Fearfully and wonderfully made. And so demons don't like that. They don't like your body. They want you to be sick. They want to attack the body that God has given you. Second place that they can influence us when they get in us is they can affect our tongues. James talks about the power of the tongue and how the tongue is like a rudder that controls the whole boat. And so demons, their goal is to enslave us. And so they know, if I can control this guy's tongue, I control his life, I control his thinking, I control his actions, and I can even influence the people around him. And so they'll try to start controlling your tongue. So you cuss at your wife, you get angry at your kids, you whine and complain, you lie about your boss, you gossip around in the community. They want to control your tongue so that they can influence you and those around you. Number three is they affect our hearts. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit comes with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that good stuff. That's what you should have. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should walk in love. You should walk in joy. You should walk in kindness. Well, demons don't want you to walk with that kind of stuff. They want to replace the love with anger. They want to replace the patience with impatience and anxiety. They want to replace self-control with mood swings. So they want to influence our hearts. They want to influence our emotions, our feelings, how we respond to things. So we don't respond with the fruit of the Spirit, but we respond with the fruit of these evil spirits instead. Fourth way that they can affect us is in our relationships. They're not just out. Demons want to hurt you and destroy your life, but they also want to destroy those that you're connected with, to destroy the relationships that you have. When we were in Romania, there was a church nearby to us called Jesus is the Lord Church. I like it. It's a good name. Well, the pastor, we went to go visit it one time. It was right down the street from us, like a 5-minute walk or something. We went to visit, and then I never went back again. I was planting churches, and we were running ministries. I'm not going to be able to visit every church around. Well, in Romania, it's kind of like, it's considered an honor if a missionary comes to visit a church, and then if he doesn't come back, they take that as like a slight. You know, so he was offended that I didn't come back, and I didn't realize that, and I kind of didn't care because I'm like, well, that's not biblical, and I don't really have time to go pander to everybody's opinion of what I should do. I'm here to do a certain thing, and I'll do what God called me to do. And so, but I'd heard through the grapevine that he was offended at me, and he started speaking in front of his church, saying, this missionary came with some ulterior motives, and he's got an agenda. Did you notice he didn't visit our church? He's out to do this and that. It started spreading all these crazy lies about me and our ministry and all that. And when I heard about it, I got really mad. And my first response was, okay, well, I'm going to call him up and just chew him out. This is not right. You can't do that. And then God stopped me, thankfully. And he's like, Jake, this is a demon problem. So you don't attack the demon by attacking the man. You're going to ruin this relationship. He just spoke to me. Just call him up and just work through things. So I called him up and just said, hey, this is what I'm hearing. You know, what's going on? You know, did I offend you? And we just worked through the whole thing. He apologized. We talked, and we're all good now. But this, what happened was a demon whispered in his ear, oh, Jake didn't show up. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. I bet he's got some ulterior motive for being here. He's probably working with the CIA, and he's probably doing this stuff and that stuff. And it sounds crazy, but if you're not aware of what the demon is doing, you're going to receive that because a demon wants to ruin relationships. We need to be smart where we understand that's what a demon might want to do in your life. And if he gains influence in you, he wants to stir up feelings of insecurity, so you start attacking others, pride, jealousy, competition, where you're starting to do things that will ruin your relationships and things that if you could step back and look at it and you go, why would anybody do that? That's dumb. Why would you think that way? Or why would you respond like that? Why would you do that? But because the demon has gotten in there, he's convinced you that this is the right way to respond, and you don't even realize what's going on. They want to ruin our relationships. Number five, they want to ruin our sleeping. So demons want to give us nightmares so that we're afraid to go to sleep. There was a girl that we were ministering to in Romania that talked about she would have these nightmares almost every night, and so we prayed for her, cast the demon out, she got set free. But demons want to give you nightmares. They want to send you dreams of sin, so you wake up feeling guilty or so you're more open to temptation when it comes. They want to send you dreams that defile you, just where like you see sin, like bad things happening, and you wake up, you're like, ugh, I just don't feel good anymore because I had that. They want to keep you awake so you can't sleep at night. When we were in Romania, our pastor Marius out there, he was telling me about, so he did pretty much every drug imaginable, but after he turned from sin and trusted in Jesus, he dropped it all. He got set free. But then he said for a few months afterwards, almost every night he'd wake up, he would have dreams where he would be doing drugs, and he'd wake up and just feel guilty because it was so real. Well, who sent those dreams? It wasn't God. It wasn't himself. He's trying to follow Jesus now. It was demons trying to get him to go back to the drugs and make him feel like he actually did the sin and feel guilty for it and maybe drive him to just go, oh, well, I guess I'll just go back to it. If I feel guilty for it and I feel like I did the sin, might as well actually have the sin so I can experience the drugs. That's what demons want to do as we sleep. I had dreams a number of times with my bosses in them, and maybe some of you have had this as well, or your spouse. I've had some with Jesse too. So with my boss, I'd have a dream a number of times where my boss was just mad at me. And like, just no matter what, I go to work, in my dream, I go to work and I try to do my stuff, and the boss would just come and like rip me and like insult me and criticize me. Nothing I did was right. And then I'd wake up and I'd have to go to work, and the whole way going to work, I'm like, man, my boss, I can't stand that guy. Just because of my stupid dream I had. And I'd get there and I'd feel all like defensive with my boss. I'd get into arguments and like, he's not even doing anything. It's just because of the dream that I had where he was attacking me, and now in real life I'm attacking him because of this stupid dream a demon sent me. Or with your spouse, have you ever had that with your spouse? I've had dreams where Jessie is just like yelling at me and mad at me. And she doesn't yell at me. She knows she's bitter enough. I'll have a dream. Sometimes I've had dreams where like Jesse's just like mad at me, and I'll wake up and I'm like, man, Why were you so mad at me last night, Jesse? It was a dream. But the demons want to send us dreams to torment us, to give us fear, to tempt us to sin, to make us think a certain way so that during our day we're responding in sin rather than in righteousness. God wants to bless us with sleep. He gave us sleep for our benefit. Psalm 127:2 says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. The Lord gives sleep to those he loves." God gave you sleep. If a demon is tormenting you so you can't sleep at night, that's not from God. God wants you to have victory there. He wants you to sleep and get rest and feel good. Proverbs 3:24 says, "If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." It's a blessing for us. It's supposed to be a blessing for us. Psalm 16:7. You know, God, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. God gave sleep not just to bless us, but even to strengthen us and to train us. It says here in Psalm 16:7, "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, my heart instructs me." Think about, okay, if you sleep, even if you don't get a lot of sleep, you're probably sleeping 5-6 hours a night minimum. Some people may, if you're a teenage boy, you're sleeping 9-10-11 hours at night. That's the only time where you're not thinking about other stuff, busy with other stuff, running around trying to do stuff. God's got you there. He wants to utilize that for him. He wants to send you dreams that encourage you, that show him what he thinks about you, that prepare you for your day ahead. He wants to bless you with sleep to train you and to instruct you and to show you how to live and how to follow after him. He wants to use sleep for your good. In Matthew, I love the first chapter of Matthew where because of a dream, Joseph knows that he shouldn't divorce Mary, and because of a dream he knows, we got to head out to Egypt now, and because of a dream he knows now, it's time to go back to Israel, and here's where I'm supposed to go. God is guiding him and instructing him through dreams. That's what God wants to use your dreams for. That's what he wants to use your nighttime for, because it's the one time of your day where you're not busy trying to run around and do all sorts of other stuff. So demons know that. They know that nighttime is powerful, and that God can minister to you and strengthen you and train you in the nighttime. So they'll do anything they can to affect that. Let me read this last one about sleeping here. This is a cool one. Psalm 42:8. "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." That's his goal for your nighttimes, for your sleep, that it would be a blessing, that it would be a time where he's giving you dreams, he's encouraging you, he's instructing you, he's filling you, he's rest, giving your body physical rest. And if you're not getting that, it could be there's a demon that's gotten into your life and he's keeping you awake, he's sending you tormenting dreams, he's sending you nightmares. You don't have to put up with that. You got to get that demon cast out. Another way that demons affect our lives is they affect our desires. God has given you godly desires, good desires, and demons want to take those godly desires and turn them into something that's ungodly. They want to take a good desire for sleep and turn it into laziness. A desire for sex within marriage to be lust and sexual addiction and adultery and pornography. They want to take a desire for food, a healthy desire for food. If we didn't like food, that, you know, we wouldn't be alive. But they want to take a good desire for food and turn that into gluttony. When a demon gets in your life, they're going to affect your desires. The last thing that they can affect, at least in my list here, they affect our minds. You know, why do so many people, they go to church and they say, "People at church judge me all the time." I think we're loving people. We're good people. You guys are all awesome. I think you're all great anyway. That's my opinion. But we've had people come to our church and stop coming because they said, "Well, I felt like everybody was judging me there." Like, nobody was judging you, man. I mean, now I'm going to judge you because... No, but it's like where did that come from? It's not us judging them, it's demons affecting their minds, that they have this spirit in them that's causing them to think everybody at church is judging them. Or why are you always getting angry? Why do your thoughts always go to just being mad at people? Because there's a demon affecting your mind. Why do you think other people are always getting mad at you? Maybe they're not. Maybe they love you. Maybe they're not getting mad at you. But this demon has messed with your mind to think that that's what they're doing. Why are you always whining and complaining? Why is everything always bad and negative and the world's coming to an end and I hate this thing and there's that thing? Why does your mind always go there? Why can't you see that there's good things happening? Why can't you see the positives? Why do you always go to the negatives? And why do you got to whine and complain about it? Why is your mind fixated on that? It's the demon has gotten in there and it's influencing your mind. It's influencing your thinking. All right, so let me offend everybody here with one statement. So you probably all have demons. Everybody online too, and on the podcast, you probably all have demons. If you have not been through deliverance, if you have not, if you're living and breathing, and you're not, and you've ever sinned and ever struggled with anything, you probably have demons in your life, and they need to get cast out. You're probably not possessed. You know, you made it here. Good job. Probably not possessed. You're listening to the podcast or on YouTube, so that's good. You're probably not possessed. You're definitely harassed by demons. We deal with that. We're alive. And you probably have them influencing you on the inside, that they've gotten a way to come into your life. If you've never had them cast out, they're probably in there. That's not, like I said earlier, that's not something to be embarrassed about or ashamed about. It's just the reality of being alive. I love the story of Mary Magdalene, where her reputation in the Bible is Mary Magdalene, from whom seven spirits got cast out. You know, most of us, if that was our reputation, you know, they say, hey, Jake's coming. Yeah, he's the guy seven demons got cast out of him. He was messed up. Most of us would be like, yeah, no, please don't tell people that. I don't really want people to know about the demons. You know, it's kind of creepy, weird. But the Bible's like, yeah, Mary, way to go. That's awesome. You know, there's no shame there. It's awesome. If you've got cancer, or if you're, you know, you've got a sickness, people aren't like looking at you going, yeah, he's got cancer, man. Can't believe it. He allowed that in his life. What a loser. No, we're going to pray for you. We're going to help take care of you. We'll try to get you medicine. We'll try to raise money, do fundraisers so that you can pay for the medical stuff you need. There's no shame there. It's a problem, and you just need to get it fixed. I love the story of Legion. You know, Mark 5, Jesus casts the demons out of the guy, Legion, and he's just nuts, out of his mind. Jesus casts the demons out. He's in his right mind. Everything's normal now. And then he wants to go and minister with Jesus, and Jesus tells him, no, you can't come with us. But I want you to go around and just tell everybody what God has done for you. I was thinking about how crazy that had to be. You know, he'd go to the city and he'd say, yeah, man, I was just nuts, out of my mind. I used to live by the tombs. I'd run around naked, and then I'd cut myself with rocks, and like they'd try to chain me down, but I'd break those chains because I had so many demons in me, man. But man, Jesus set me free. That's crazy. But there's no shame there. He's excited because God had set him free. Yeah, he had a problem, but he got set free. So what's the big deal? Acts 16, when there's the slave girl in Philippi, Paul casts a demon out of her. But Paul doesn't start criticizing her. He doesn't say, bah, yeah, who's this girl? I wonder how she got that demon. What stupid stuff did she do? Ah, loser. No, he just cast the demon out. She's set free. She probably joined the church after that. Everything's good. People, we get all weird. We're like, oh, I don't want people to know I struggle with this, or I don't want to confess that I have a demon, because then, I don't know, people are going to think I'm weird, and I don't know, this is scary and weird. No, it's not. Just get it dealt with. It's all good. Just let us know if you got a problem. We'll cast it out. It's all good. You can get set free. There's no shame there. All right, so, you know, when I say that you probably have demons, I don't want you to freak out and go, oh, okay, now they're judging me and they're criticizing me and they're thinking I'm weird and possessed and all. No, it's just you got a little problem. Okay, we can deal with that. So John Wimber has this list in his book, Power Healing, some things to look for to determine whether you have demons that are in your life or not. Let me just read through some of these. Contorted physical reactions, especially when in the Holy Spirit's presence. So, you know, I know probably all of you guys have seen videos of charismatic worship services and people start like going crazy and they fall on the floor writhing around like snakes or barking or even crazy stuff. And then other people go, oh yeah, they're being blessed, that's the Holy Spirit, yeah, more God. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a demon. Get that out of you. So if that's ever happened to you, I don't think none of you guys have done that here. But if that does happen, you know, maybe that's a clue that there's a demon that needs to be dealt with. Addiction. Addiction to drugs, alcohol, anything really. If there's an addiction in your life, it's a strong indication that you have a demon that needs to be cast out. Compulsive behaviors, eating disorders, lust, pornography, homosexuality, masturbation, compulsive shopping, lying, theft, hoarding, anything where you just can't stop doing it and you got to get more and more and you got to do more and more. That's probably a demon that has gotten you in there and is trying to enslave you now with his compulsive behavior. Bondage to emotions, fear, depression, worry, anger, doubt, cynicism, any of those kind of things where your mind just goes right to this being negative, being cynical, being full of doubt, being angry, being whatever. These emotions, if you're bound to these and you can't break free, then it's probably a demon that is affecting you. Bondage to sinful attitudes, self-hatred, unforgiveness, criticism, jealousy, rejection, any attitude where your mind, your heart just goes into this sinful pattern again and again and again, and you just can't break free, it's a good indication that there's a demon in there. Chronic physical illness, especially if the cause is unknown. If doctors are trying to help you and you're taking medication, you tried this and that, and it's just not going away, it's a strong indication that there's demonic involvement. Disturbed family history, like incest, alcoholism, child abuse, suicide, murder, rape. Anything that, like any traumatic, sinful, disturbing thing that happened to you as a kid, that stuff, it attracts demons. And if you don't deal with that, the demon can stay in there and continue to affect you for your whole life long. Just need the demon cast out. Past involvement in the occult. Witchcraft has a weird tendency to attract demons. If you've done occult stuff, if you've done occult stuff, if you've even like things like watching a lot of horror movies or even some like satanic kind of music, and you can think, oh no, it's just music, it's all fine. Yeah, no, there's demons behind that, and you can open yourself up to demonic influence by getting involved with occult stuff. Areas of unforgiveness and bitterness. If you haven't forgiven those who hurt you, the Bible is clear. That will give demons a right to infect your life and to influence your behaviors. And we'll talk about that more in the weeks to come a little bit. So if any of these things are true of you, there's a strong indication that you might have a demon in your life. And maybe you've prayed, you've been reading the Bible, you've been fighting hard, you've been fasting, and you've been really trying to get free from this thing. And if you're just not free, it's still controlling you, maybe just get the demon cast out and be free. Maybe you don't have to war with this thing your whole life. Maybe you don't have to just surrender and allow this thing to live inside of you. Maybe just be free. All right, so I want to encourage you that you can be free. You don't have to allow demons to stay inside of you. Different churches have different ministries that they do, and they talk about where they'll deal with the demons that have gotten in you, and they'll cast them out. Bethel Church does their sozo ministry, which sounds funny, but it's the Greek word for salvation, healing, deliverance. But it sounds funny, so that's why we don't use it. We don't have a sozo ministry. LL Ministries had their inner healing retreats, which I don't know why I did that for that. It is inner healing. It's all good. That sounds weird to me. It sounds new agey. We call it deliverance here. That's a term that you see more often in the Bible. And I don't know. We like that term. So we call it deliverance. It's nothing weird, nothing creepy or spooky. It's just dealing with the demons in you, praying with you, counseling you scripturally, and getting the demons cast out. We have an acronym that we use, FORCE, F-O-R-C-E, for all the Star Wars fans out there. May the Force be with you. All right, Eli. So F is forgiveness. The Bible is clear. If you don't forgive those who hurt you, those who sin against you, you will be tormented by it, and demons have a right then to influence your life. And so as we take people through deliverance, where you can really be free from these demons, the first step is just we pray together. Say, okay, let's pray, and let's have you forgive all those who have hurt you and that you're bitter at. You repent of the bitterness, and you just forgive. And oh my gosh, you get set free. It's so powerful. I remember when I was 19, I met with my pastors, Michael, and it was Ryan at the time at the church in Madison, and went through deliverance. And beforehand, Michael was like, well, normally, you know, this forgiveness section is really powerful, and most people have a lot of people to forgive, you know, so don't be worried if, you know, you start praying, and we spend a lot of time here. That's all good. And I just kind of laughed and said, no, I don't really have very many people to forgive. And then 45 minutes later, or longer, it was like all of a sudden realized, oh, man, I'm mad at this person. And that. Wow, it was like my whole life. I just had been mad at people and bitter and burying it and holding on to it. And then after whatever it was, 45 minutes or an hour of just saying, Lord, I forgive them and this one and that one, I felt good. I felt free. And like every person that we meet with that goes through deliverance, it's the forgiveness part. It's my favorite part. It's so powerful. So that's the F, forgiveness. Second part, O, occult. If you've ever done any sort of occult activities before, that attracts demons into your life. And so we want to break those occult ties and just declare before God, these are broken. You know, I repent for doing this, and now I break it off. I don't want it to affect me anymore. ours, relationships, past sinful relationships, and like hurtful things that happened there and sinful things that happened, that can affect you today if you don't break those relationship ties. C, curses. So the Bible talks about sins that your forebears did can affect you, and sins that you do can affect your kids. It can be passed on down the line, like as a curse, is how the Bible talks about it. And so we will pray, and one after another, you break the curses that are over your life. And then the last part, E, evict. Just like evicting a bad tenant that's messing up a house, not paying rent, will kick these demons out, just tell them to leave, and they just go, and your life is changed. So I think everybody who's involved in a church needs to go through deliverance. It doesn't matter if you grew up in basically a Christian home. You collect demons. They just will sneak in. Got to catch them all, Pokemon. Demons will sneak in any way they can. They don't play fair. They're not nice. They don't go, oh, yeah, you grew up in a Christian home, I'll leave you alone. No, they'll try to sneak in there. And maybe you'll have less than the guy who grew up in some whacked out pagan, drug-infested home, but you still have stuff. And so I think everybody who's involved in a church should go through deliverance. The early church, actually, after the New Testament was written, there's a document, the Didache, and it actually talks about in there that they recommended basically, essentially, that everybody joining the church should go through some sort of deliverance, because they're dealing with, you know, the Jews had grown up understanding the Old Testament and the basic moral foundation of Christianity, and so the Jewish Christians, they kind of got it, but they had some stuff to deal with yet. But then when they went into the Greek world, oh my gosh, people were messed up. And so I think that's why they said, look, we need to get you guys cleaned out before you join the church. And so they actually made it a requirement or a recommendation anyway that when you join the church, you had to go through some kind of deliverance to just break the demonic ties to your life. I think it's smart. Anybody who's in a church, you should go through it. Do we make that a requirement in our church? No, but I think you should want it, and there's no reason not to want it. So demons are sneaky, they're vile, they're creepy, they're demonic, and they will try to do whatever they can to get into your life and mess up your relationships, mess up your mind, mess up your attitude, mess up your sleep, mess up your body, and ruin your life. But Jesus provides freedom for you. You don't have to allow them to stay in your life. You can really get set free. And so if you are, you know, listening today, the worst that would happen is you hear this and you go, oh, that's cool, now I just learned I have a bunch of demons, and then you just leave it that way. No, if you're listening to this and you're like, crap, I gotta work through some stuff. Okay, let's work through it. Just talk to me, talk to Brian, talk to someone else, and we'll meet and we'll help you work through this stuff. You can get set free. You don't want this stuff to keep impacting you, to keep influencing you your whole life. You want those demons dealt with, amen? Yeah. All right, let me close with one of my favorite deliverance testimonies that I've experienced personally. About 10 years ago, I was serving as a youth pastor here, and at the same time, I was helping lead this youth ministry in the area. And we had a youth retreat, a weekend retreat in the summer with about 200 middle school and high school students. Many of you have heard this story, but that's all right. I like to share it, so you'll have to listen anyway. So we had about 200 or so students there, and I was in charge of a group of about, I think it was like 7 or 8 high school guys. We were supposed to meet throughout the weekend and just kind of talk about life and talk about the sermons and just see how they're doing and pray together and all that. Well, Friday night, must have been like about midnight, one of the guys in my group, Sam, he confessed. He's like, man, I got to tell you guys, I am not in a good place spiritually. He was 16, I believe, at the time, and he said, I'm going to raves just about every night, and I'm trying to get with girls, I'm fooling around with them, I've slept with more girls than I can count, and I'll be with multiple girls every night at these raves, and I just can't stop. And he says, I grew up in the church, I know this is wrong, I know it's sin, and I see where my life is going because of this, and I'm scared, but like, I just can't stop this. And he goes, I feel like there's something in me that's pushing me to do this. And when he said that, I felt like God spoke to my heart and said, he's got a demon of lust, and I want you to cast it out. And I was like, dang it. These guys don't know. You know, this group of high school kids, they just go to a nice evangelical church. They don't know about demons and all this stuff. They don't know about deliverance. And I'm like, man, I got to be the weird guy that just freaks them out now. And so I started debating with God in my mind, and God's like, yeah, I don't really care. So I'm like, okay. So then I just said, hey, Sam, hold on a minute. So I don't know how to say this, but yeah, you got a demon, and a demon of lust, and that's probably what's causing you to do this. And everybody, all the guys were like, oh. Like, their eyes just got big. Like, oh, crap, he's got a demon? What? I said, no, don't worry, it's all good. What did Jesus do with demons? And they're like, somebody goes, oh, I think he just cast them out, right? He told them to leave. I'm like, yeah, Jesus just cast them out, so that's what we're going to do. It's just a demon. Don't worry about it. We'll just cast it out, Sam. And so Sam's like, I don't know, okay, fine, whatever you want. And so I said, okay, guys, just put your hands on Sam. So we all put our hands on him, and then we start rebuking this demon. And as soon as I started, Sam starts going, and then he goes, I think it's in me, cast it out. So all the guys with their hands on, like, oh, crap. I'm like, calm down, guys, it's all good, we're just going to cast it out. And so then we just kept rebuking it, praying, telling it to leave. And then Sam starts growling, and then he's trying to bite us. And then eventually he goes, rah! Just screams, like a demonic scream. And then sinks back in his chair, and he goes, oh, my gosh, that was in me, and it left. And then he starts shaking his head again and screaming again. And he's like, I think there's another one. We cast that one out. Well, then he got filled with the Holy Spirit after that. And then in his thumb, he broke his thumb years ago, and it never totally healed, so he couldn't move it right, and it was in constant pain. Well, we prayed for that, and it got healed. Sam just got completely transformed that night. Well, then a few weeks later, he and I got together, and just so I wanted to see how he's doing and all that. And I said, so how are you doing, Sam? And he goes, man, I am free. He said, before, I would, you know, walk through the park, and I'd be like looking out, trying to find girls, and then I'd see them, and all I could think about was, I want to get with that girl. I want to get her in bed. But now, like, I don't even think about it. I can walk through the park, and I think about how it's a beautiful day, and I could see a girl and just say, oh, yeah, it's a girl, whatever, a human. I'm not even tempted. I'm just free, Jake. That's what God wants for us. Not that, you know, I know the lie out there is, well, this is just what I deal with. It's just my struggle, you know, and it's okay because one day I'll be free in heaven, and it's going to be good then, but I just got to keep fighting. And, you know, the righteous man falls seven times, but he rises up again. Yeah, that's true. He does. But God's plan for you is not that you would fall seven times and keep falling again and again. His plan is that you would walk in freedom, that you would stay up, that you would be righteous, and that you wouldn't have to war with this stuff, that it would just be gone from your life. Amen? All right, so if you need this, if you're realizing, man, I've got some stuff to deal with, just talk to us, and we'll help. We'll pray with you. And it's not weird. You can even talk to some of the people here and just say, hey, I heard about this. Did you go through this? And if they have, they'll let you know. It's not weird. It's just, we just get together, we pray, and we cast some demons out. That's all. It's not really a big deal, but you need it dealt with. You want it dealt with. All right, let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you offer us freedom, that we don't have to be influenced by these demons. We don't have to be under their power, that our minds, our hearts, our sleeping, our bodies, our attitudes and actions, that was made for your glory. We were made for your glory to walk in righteousness and freedom. And so, Father, I pray for your freedom, to be honest. Lord, if there's anybody here in this church or even anybody listening online that is not walking in freedom, that is being influenced by the enemy, that has demons in your life, Jesus, I pray that they would walk in freedom, that they get set free from these things so that they could live for you with all that they have, that they give you all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. Lord, if there's anybody of us who maybe we've been through deliverance, maybe we've been set free, but something else, but we're realizing, man, there's something else here. Lord, would you point your finger at that and give us the humility just to say, hey, guys, come pray for me. I've got this demon. I just need it dealt with. Lord, we want to be people who are walking in your freedom. We'd be free indeed, not just in theory, but in reality.